Good evening, everyone, and happy holiday weekend to you. I'm Chris Michael. This is RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. We have a great show lined up for you with some very special guests. But as always, the program starts with the introduction of the co-host of the program, senior sports writer to The Morning Call, Mr. Keith Edward Groer. Keith,
thank you so
happy
much.
Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and happy Easter weekend to you.
Looking forward to it. Can't wait. Love the Easter holiday. It's a great time of year, and flowers are blooming, and candy's coming off the wrapper, and, you know, I just can't wait.
See you as the gardening type, more the candy and food.
I like painting the eggs, and I certainly like eating the candy on Sunday, so but looking forward to it.
So you're not out in the garden this time of year? Getting ready?
No, I buy my flowers. I don't grow any. I'll buy a couple pots of Easter flowers.
All right, more gardening tips coming up later on in the show, though, but let's first introduce our guest joining us via the phone line, our writer extraordinaire, Tom Moore. You've seen his work in Culkin's Media on Bucks County Courier-Times newspaper and often in The Morning Call as well. Tom, thanks so much for joining us. Welcome once again to Sports Talk.
Sure. Thanks a lot, Keith. The only bad thing about the spring is you have to mow the grass, and I haven't started yet because I know I'll be doing it for like the next 7 months. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to be baling hay if I don't do it soon.
Well, yeah. if you're bored and you want to come up to Emmaus to visit me in my house, I could use a cutting right now myself, Tommy. So.
Yeah, Tom, you just came away from the walk away or the end of the year wrap up.
Breakup day, we call it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I heard Ben Simmons had some theatrics today, at least a little bit. What was your thoughts about getaway day for the players before they go embark on their off season?
Yeah, I mean, he hadn't talked to us since prior to the season opener, October 26th. You know, when I guess he had his surgery. So we hadn't talked to him in almost, you know, 6 months, so we kind of, talked about, didn't sound like he's too excited about possibly playing in the summer league after missing the year and playing the point guard position and being a leader and, you know, touched on some topics. I think we got him for about 12 minutes. He was the last of the, I guess, 14 players we got to talk to. Joel Embiid is still in Los Angeles, so we did not get to speak to him, but we talked to, I guess, everybody else on the roster.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Embiid and your thoughts just overall on this season. You know, some years you look at the losses and say, all right, it was kind of a wasted year. That's part of the process. There were so many ups and downs this year. I mean, January was wonderful, and then before and after it, there was kind of a mixed bag throughout in terms of injury news and everything. What was your general thoughts on the year overall for the Sixers?
Yeah, I mean, Chris, they went from 10 wins to 28. No team has ever tripled win total. Now, obviously, when you're going from 10, it's a lot easier to triple than, for instance, the Celtics the year before they won the title back in 07 when they got Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett, went from 24 wins to 66. That's not tripling, but that's plus 42. That's pretty impressive. But, I think in his 31 games, I think I was surprised at how much of an impact Embiid had after being out for 2 years. I could not find a single NBA player in history who missed his first two seasons due to injury that made any impact in the NBA, that literally even played in the NBA. I mean, David Robinson didn't do it because of fulfilling his Naval Academy requirement. You know, there are situations like that. Mm-hmm. But in terms of injury, I don't think that's ever happened. And he was on course to become the first player since Ricky Pierce with the Bucks in 91 to average 20 plus points in fewer than 30 minutes, you know, because of the minutes restriction. And, you know, just defensively what he brought them and from fans and his personality and everything, he really kind of, you know, he got everyone really interested and it the game sort of became an event again because you saw things that, you know, you don't often get to see. So I think you want to take the glass half empty approach. He's played in 31 out of a possible 246 games over 3 years. So, you know, you hope he's healthy and can play this year, but, you know, it's hard to say with any certainty given the right foot with the two surgeries. That was the first 2 years and now the left knee, the torn meniscus, the surgery and so on. So you don't know what to expect, but certainly what we saw, you know, was
Pretty special. You
haven't seen too many people make that kind of impact and people do the things he did at that size.
Yeah. Well, what's your gut reaction just in terms of what to expect from him? If we get 50 out of 60 games and they keep him healthy for the postseason, is that, you know, a realistic approach right now? Or do you hope for more? Or, you know, conceivably we could have much less too.
Yeah, Chris, I think they would be thrilled, to be honest with you, given everything. If he could play 50 games, and if they made the playoffs, I'm pretty sure I shouldn't say pretty sure, but I would be surprised if he's playing back-to-back games at least to start the season. And I would think there's a decent chance he's on a minutes restriction again next year. You know, they just generally have been so cautious with those things, and probably not playing in back, you know, the back-to-backs and all that stuff. But I mean, you know, 50 games, you know, out of him, you know, if he plays at the level he played this year, or, you know, even better, you know, would be significant. So, you know, you just don't know. You don't know what to expect. And it's just one of those, things that all they can do is hope and, you know, see what happens.
Tom, I was looking at something online the other day, and I guess it was a tribute to Charles Oakley after his problems in New York, and they showed a Sixers game with Charles Oakley going against Charles Barkley at the old Spectrum, and there you were underneath the basket at that end that we always used to sit under there, and there you were. You've been doing this a long, long time. I happen to think that this offseason's critical for this franchise. Draft night, as it often is with the 76ers, is going to be topsy-turvy. It could be a lot of moves, or it could be totally boring. But I think this franchise is close. It's on the cusp. I think this could be the last spring where you are going to have time to cut grass, because I think they're going to have some playoff teams coming up, but obviously a critical offseason. What are some of the moves you think they need to make? And obviously a lot depends on whether they get that Lakers pick. Or, you know, if the Lakers stay in the top three, they're still going to get a good pick. We know that. But what do you identify as some of the key moves, the key needs that this franchise has?
Well, yeah, Keith, I think the draft is the big thing. I mean, best case scenario, they get the number one pick either from their own pick or Sacramento. They have the option, you know, they can swap from that Stauskas trade. So they could do that, and then they could get the number four pick from the Lakers. So the best case scenario is 1-4. The worst case scenario for this year is number seven. They finish with a fourth worst record. You can drop three spots. That's a huge difference. If you're number one, you get Markelle Fultz, to me is by far the best player in this draft, and would fit. He could play point guard. He can play off the ball. He can shoot. He can drive. He's a very good defender. He's 6'4". He can play ones. He can play twos. I think he would be just an ideal complement for Ben Simmons. If you're picking, you know, number seven, you know, you're more in the Malik Monk, you know, territory. Those guys, there's not a lot of good shooting guards. They really need to address the backcourt and the perimeter shooting. Those are the two biggest areas. I think that showed this year, and Brett Brown finally was saying, you know, Monday, I guess it was, that they need to surround Simmons and Embiid with shooters. Mm-hmm. That's I agree with that, because Simmons is not a very good shooter. It doesn't look like he has made any drastic improvements in his shot based on what we've seen just before games and things like that. So I think that's the big thing. And, you know, who are your starters going to be? And, you know, they have money for free agency, but I can't imagine like a high-level elite free agent's going to want to come here, because they're not there yet. Now, maybe if they could win 36 games next year, let's say, and, you know, Embiid plays a fair amount and Simmons does a lot of things, maybe then you could add, you know, a more established shooter, get a more of a set rotation, and, you know, take that next step, be a playoff team, let's say, in 18-19, and really start perhaps being a factor in the Eastern Conference.
Tom, you had a great article on De'Aaron Fox, a point guard who would fit in nicely if everything falls in right. You mentioned a couple other players the Sixers potentially could draft. I just want to pick your brain a little bit, though. If you do get the top two picks, say 1-4 or some combination in the top 5 or 6, do the Sixers even entertain the possibility of trading those two picks and getting a more established player who can help them right away? What's your feeling on what the Sixers could conceivably do with those picks?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Brian Colangelo is more open to veterans. Mm-hmm. You saw this year bringing in Sergio Rodriguez and bringing in Gerald Henderson, that Sam Hinkie was more about developing young guys, you know, trying to the Robert Covingtons, the T.J. McConnells, the undrafted rookies, see if you can develop a guy who can become a player, on a very favorable contract to kind of help fill out the rotation. It's very interesting to me. I don't think it's the end of the world if they only get their own pick this year. And the reason is the Lakers pick next year becomes unprotected.
Yeah, for next year.
And, they were not very good this year. I know Magic Johnson's in charge, but I think they have a long way to go. That could be the number one pick in the 2018 draft with Michael Porter and the kid Doncic from Eastern Europe. So to me, it wouldn't be the end of the world if they're going to get that's going to be the fifth or sixth pick this year versus, let's say, the number one or number two pick next year. I don't think that would be the end of the world, especially since you're going to have Simmons, if he's healthy, being a brand new guy, and you're going to have their own pick. So that's two key guys, probably starters, that are going to be new. Mm-hmm. The more turnover you have, especially with young guys, there's more growing pains and so on. So to me, that's not the end of the world. If that pick does not convey this year, and because you could conceivably have more of an impact player the following year, if fans are willing to wait. And there are a lot of point guards, but there are some point guards who can't shoot. And with Simmons, if he's going to be the point guard on offense, which is the plan, and then cover whoever defends him at the other end, you would ideally like to have guys who can shoot around him, including at that spot, which is why I think Fultz would be so good. De'Aaron Fox I really like, but is not a really good shooter. Mm-hmm. Lonzo Ball has a funky shot. They may have to change his shooting, form. And there are some other guys similar type players. So although they have a lot of needs, there are some specific things they would like to see. And it is not a great year by the looks of it in terms of shooters coming out, especially at the one and two positions.
Of the players currently on the roster, which one do you think made the best impression with the Sixers front office? Which one are keepers? Obviously, Dario Saric really improved, a candidate for Rookie of the Year. One player, and I'm probably going to butcher his name here, Timothy Luwawu Cabarrol. It seemed he really played well down the stretch. Was that legitimate, or was that just playing some teams that had very little to play for? Or is TLC one of those keepers for the future?
Yeah, that's hard to say, Chris. I think he's on the roster next year. But I think if you upgrade the way you hope to upgrade, he's probably not a starter, but he could be a guy, who is in the regular rotation. Yeah, Saric really impressed me, especially since they traded Ilyasova at the deadline, February 22nd, and his role really increased and his production did too until the last couple of weeks with that heel, the plantar fasciitis really bothered him. But I think he's really, he really was impressive what he did. And TJ McConnell, I mean, he was the heart of their team. He mm-hmm. was kind of the blue collar, he set the tone for them. He was their guts, the Pittsburgh kind of lunch pail guy. And again, I don't think he's a starter going forward, especially if Simmons is going to be the point guard on offense. But I think he's a guy that would be in the mix that, could be the backup point guard when they decide to go that route, whether Simmons plays, point forward, or whether Simmons, let's say he plays 30 minutes a game, you have 18 minutes where he's not on the floor where somebody else could be out there. But I think he really solidified his place in this league by the way he performed this year.
Tom, you're a good guy, and you're not paying me to say that. I know you a long time. You're not a one-trick pony. You cover other things than the Sixers. And all the Sixers have been your number one beat for many, many years. Which of these four teams? We have another spring in Philadelphia. There's no playoff action. It's going to be quiet down there. The Wells Fargo is going to be quiet this spring. Obviously, the Phillies just got swept by the Mets. Eagles had some good things, some not-so-good things last fall. Your take on which team of those four are going to be not only in the playoffs, but maybe win a playoff series and make a run at something, which four is best poised to do that right now?
Yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, the Phillies, coming off that sweep and the way things went and the starting pitching, it's hard to say that at this point when their goal was to be .500. So, they have some young talent. A lot of it is at AAA and AA, but that's going to take some time. The Flyers are trying to build through young players, which is nice, instead of making all these deals at the deadline for veterans and sacrificing their future, but I think they're still might be a ways away. The Eagles added some impact, especially receivers and a pretty good offensive linemen and defensive tackle, you know, who may end up being a starter. And the Sixers, do you realize, Keith, the Sixers are the last of the major four major teams to win a playoff series?
Yeah, with Doug Collins a couple years ago. Yeah.
Is that amazing?
Yeah.
And they did it as an eight seed, and only because Rose got hurt right. And then Noah got hurt, or they never would have won that series in six games. So it's really hard to say. I'll say the Eagles might be the next playoff team, I would say. But I'm not sure that they can make a big jump and you know, sort of be a contender in the NFC right away. But maybe they could be a 9-7, possibly 10-16 if all goes well this year. And Wentz has a year under his belt, so does Peterson, so they're not rookies anymore. So I'll say that. But the Sixers, it all comes down to Embiid. You know, even if Simmons is very good, Embiid's the key to the whole thing. If he's healthy and they can get 50 to 60 games, you know, regularly out of him for the next, you know, X number of years, you know, I think they have a chance to really move up, but it's just such an unknown at this point.
Tom, before we let you go, Tom Moore, of course, our special guest from Calkins Media, Bucks County Courier-Times Morning Call, and a great follow on Twitter, too. Make sure you follow him at TMoore76ers. A lot of videos, a lot of insights, and I know you always answer a lot of people's questions. That's great to see as a fan of the Sixers to follow you. What's the next couple weeks like for you? Are you going to follow the NBA playoffs since the Sixers are done? Do you kind of get away from basketball for a couple weeks? And who do you like come NBA finals time?
Yeah, well, tomorrow Brett Brown and Brian Colangelo are talking back down in Camden. We're down there today for the other players. And then, yes, it will kind of quiet down. And then I guess May 16th is the draft lottery. And then they'll start bringing players in probably about Memorial Day. And usually there's maybe two or three days a week that they bring players in and they have availability with them. So that'll kind of keep me busy through. I think the draft is June 22nd. And in terms of the playoffs, you know, I still, even with all the issues and the slump and everything like that, unless Kyrie Irving is really hurt, I still think the Cavs are the team to come out of the East. I just still think they're just a little better than the Celtics and the Raptors. I think the Cavaliers and the Raptors in the second round could be a very interesting series. They're the two and the three seed. Mm-hmm. And out West, it's hard to go against, you know, the Warriors. Yeah. Although, you realize of all the, you know, Popovich and San Antonio have won 50 games all these years. This is the first time they've won 60 in back-to-back seasons, which is saying something because they've won five titles. One of them was a lockout year. But, you know, you hate to be sort of predictable or whatever, but, you know, the logic would be, you know, the Warriors over the Cavaliers in the finals, although I wouldn't, you know, I wasn't upset last year that it was the other way around, especially coming back from 3-1 down, and especially with LeBron James making the biggest play, you know, with a hustle play at the defensive end, blocking Iguodala's shot, kind of coming out of nowhere, which how many times does the star player make the big play at that end, which I think tells you a lot about LeBron James.
Yeah. Tom, thanks so much for your insights. Great job again covering the Sixers, and rest up for a couple weeks, and then when the lottery starts, you'll be back at work again.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Take care, Tom.
Take care.
All right. Tom Moore, the outstanding writer for Calkins Media. Again, make sure you follow him on Twitter. He always has some great insights at TMoore76ers. All right, let's introduce our special in-studio guest here talking high school sports. Two outstanding athletic directors from the Lehigh Valley area, Brian Geis from Northern Lehigh, who's also the Colonial League president, and Dennis Census, athletic director at Allentown Central Catholic and also the head basketball coach. Gentlemen, happy holidays to you, and thanks so much for coming in on a holiday Thursday for talking local sports with us.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. Keith, good to see you guys. Happy Easter, you guys, and with Dennis.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
We had some good weather. It was like a vacation because you didn't have to make all these postponements and reschedules.
You guys were complaining about cutting grass, and I know my softball coach and baseball coach are glad that we're able to cut grass and play some games.
Yeah. So. Absolutely. That March snowstorm killed us.
Yeah. Before we talk about the spring season, I just want to, as we normally do when we have ADs here, to kind of go back and talk about some of the highlights at your school during this year, the fall, with the winter sports seasons as well. Maybe also touch on any under-the-radar stories or highlight any outstanding performances by your students. And
yeah,
Brian, we'll start with you.
The main one is Ryan Farber. He finished, he was second in the state at 160 pounds this year wrestling. Outstanding. He just signed yesterday a letter of intent to the University of Pennsylvania. So we're proud to have outstanding wrestler, outstanding student going for us to University of Pennsylvania.
You've had a few people go to the
A number of years ago, we had Caleb Johnson went to Harvard. Yeah. We had Amy Ortner go to West Point, and she's currently serving our country over in Afghanistan, in the Afghanistan area. So we're proud of that. And but moving on, spring-wise, we have an outstanding softball team at least this year. We have six freshmen that are playing for us. And we have Katie Huffman, who's an All-State player from last year. Our track team has some outstanding field event people, so we're having a nice spring so far. So
Dennis, we'll go back to the fall and winter. By the way, Keith has already, I think, anointed you the team to beat in basketball. So.
Yes, I have.
A couple weeks ago.
He's a kiss of death, right? you know what? We've been very fortunate this year at Central Catholic. It's been a tremendous year. You know, looking back at our fall and winter sports seasons, every one of our teams qualified for postseason play. And our fall sports teams, you know, really set the tone for the success. And there's so many success stories this year. Really good group of upperclassmen, juniors and seniors. And, you know, we've got great coaches at Central Catholic that do a wonderful job for us. But, you know, highlights of the fall for us were our girls volleyball team. They won the district championship and then went on to win the state championship in dramatic fashion. You know, our girls cross country team is traditionally very strong and was fortunate to win the District 11 championship. And we moved up to the Northern Division this year in the EPC for football. Mm-hmm. And you know, we had a lot of success up there and against some good teams and were able to win the EPC championship in football in the Northern Division. And then this winter, our swimmers were really the highlight of our winter sports season. And both our boys and girls swim team won district championships. And it's been many years since both teams have won district championships in the same season. Mm-hmm. And then we had a fair amount of success on the state level. And Gabe Castano had a tremendous individual year swimming and, you know, brought home a state gold for us. So we're very proud of him. But you know, like we talked about earlier, we're just trying to get the spring season up and running with some good weather right now.
Yeah. Well, I got to say that about your football team. I got to cover them because I am technically the EPC North man. So I got to cover a lot of Central Catholic football. And besides Dennis, they won 9 in a row. They won 9 football games in a row. Had a tough task of having to beat a good, having to face a good, strong Bethlehem Catholic team. Two second week in a row. That's very, very difficult. Obviously, Central dominated the first game, and you kind of knew it wasn't going to be the same way the second time around. But I got to commend your school, your administration, yourself, all the it's an excellent school. I mean, you won a championship in volleyball. Your girls and boys basketball teams were competitive. There's some good things happening in the spring, and I just got to say that you have good kids down there. I love coming to Central Catholic. We come down, even though you have it at 8 in the morning, and you know it's a struggle for a guy like me, but you had it. I love dealing with your kids, their first class. And with you, hey, I'm excited about your softball team. Yeah. I mean, Caitlin Huffman is phenomenal. Coach Hicks has got a good group there. It's a young group. I think you're poised to be a competitive team in that sport for the next 4 years at least.
And I think we're balanced because we have, like I said, we have these six freshmen and we have Katie Huffman and we have we only have two seniors on the team, but we have some veterans along with the freshmen. I think we're set up pretty well.
Just had your first loss the other night, right?
We did. Southern Lehigh.
I was there.
Yeah, Keith was there. I wasn't down there, so I'm only getting, you know, the cliff notes of what happened.
So it's Keith's fault they lost their first
probably
game.
Probably. Yeah. I jinxed them. I've been known to be a jinx, unfortunately.
And a quick programming note, by the way, the Central Catholic volleyball team, they're going to be on one of our special summertime shows out at Buffalo Wild Wings in Whitehall. So we're going to have the whole team out there. So Central Catholic fans, make sure you come out there and cheer on and support. We have the open mic there, too, so you can support and give your compliments to Coach Corcoran and the Central Catholic volleyball team and their outstanding accomplishments.
I keep asking, you're going to pay for my dinner that night, right?
Absolutely not. Here you go.
No, we can't wait. We're really looking forward to getting out. Yes. We love the studio, but I'm literally looking forward to making my debut outside the studio with you, and you're going to say you're going to have me rove in the crowd or something?
You could. You're welcome to do that. Sure.
Okay.
If it's all right with Central Catholic, because that's their show.
Okay.
They tell us what to do here.
Well, it could be dangerous for me being in the crowd. I'll tell you.
All right. We're going to continue the conversation with Brian and Dennis in just a moment. Right now, we're going to roll out the trivia question and give you a chance to win tonight's special prize. It is Sixers related. We had Tom Moore on just a moment ago. And hard to believe, this was 35 years ago. The Lakers defeated the 76ers in the 1982 NBA Finals. Who led the Lakers in scoring for that playoff run? It was 35 years ago. The Sixers lost to the Lakers in the NBA Finals. Who led the Lakers in scoring? Of all the great names, who was their leading scorer during that playoff run? Here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with sports talk trivia.
All right, it's time for our first feature of the evening. The Phillies AAA affiliate kicked off their season last week, which did not turn out well for the Iron Pigs. Our Sports Talk cameras were on hand, and manager Dusty Wathan tried to focus on some of the positives that came out of the first loss for the Iron Pigs this year.
Yeah, I mean, you got a veteran pitcher out there. Did a nice job. Probably exposed our youth a little bit. We probably got a little bit too aggressive. Got out of our plan probably a little bit too much. And, you know, once we throw up a six spot on you, it's hard, especially in a night like tonight. Any night, really, but a night like tonight, weather's bad. You know, all of a sudden you feel like, well, we got back in it. Took the lead in the bottom of the second, and then you give up six in the third, and you feel like it's going to be tough to get back in it. And, you know, once they put down a good shutdown inning on us, you know, tough to come back. They did a good job through the middle innings. We didn't.
Did you call for the punt, or was that Roman's idea?
That's Roman's idea. He can bunt whenever he wants, and we talk about it all the time, runners in scoring position and things like that. That he needs to take advantage of that if they're going to give him a. Opportunity to put the ball down. That's a big part of his game. So I was glad to see that. That was good. Yeah, that he's looking for it now. So that's good. I thought in the first inning, you know, he was in and out of the zone and did a pretty good job. Second inning, just elevated some pitches. Got hit a little bit around just because he elevated pitches and kind of got down the middle. Didn't have his command tonight, I don't think, especially after the first inning. It seemed like he got some swing and misses first inning and then we didn't have many swing and misses after that. Yeah, it's not. I mean, nice to get in a routine. That's what we're looking for. You know, I mean, show up at the ballpark, you know, 1 o'clock every day and take some batting practice, play a game. Hopefully we can get in that soon.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Our special in-studio guest, Dennis Sensus, athletic director and head basketball coach at Central Catholic, Brian Geist, Northern Lehigh athletic director and Colonial League president, Keith Groller from The Morning Call, sharing some stories of love and friendship out in the Lehigh Valley.
Wherever I go.
Oh, are you going to tell that story?
Friendship, but no, not on the air. Not on the air.
All right, let's get back to the high school conversation. One of the things I wanted to highlight, too, is Central Catholic. Rockne Hall renovated this year. It's always nice to be there because it's a special place to watch a game. But, you know, with the paint and the lighting, it was almost looked like it was a new gym up there. Tell us a little bit about the renovation project and how happy you were with the end result.
you know, we were really pleased with the way it turned out. You know, and the goal for us was we wanted a really clean up the gym. You know, wanted a neat or cleaner appearance, but keep the iconic feel of Rockne Hall. And so many people were concerned when we said we were going to renovate that we were going to, you know, lose the history of the building. But yeah. You know, I think the people that came in and did the work for us did a tremendous job, and it was really well received, and you know, and it's much safer than it was before. You know, we used to have the tile walkway around the outside, and there was some railings that needed to be replaced. So it's you know, that's our focal point at Central Catholic is Rockne Hall. I mean, we have so many school events in Rockne on a regular basis.
Long, yeah.
We have school mass, we have assemblies, and obviously our sporting events. So it's important to us.
Our camera people love it because now they can, you know, you can get cleaner shots of the players and everything too. So yeah. I know they came back from our first game and they said they really love the new Rockne Hall.
Yeah. Well, the lighting it's almost like a spotlight. I can't even describe it, yeah. But it's like you're like the basketball court's a stage and there's like spot. I mean, it's very different lighting.
Yeah,
feel.
It's arena style lighting. Yeah. And when we were getting bids on the lighting process, they recommended that because of the iconic feel of the building and the history, that we really try to get some high-end lighting that would set the building off. And you know, it's stadium type lighting, and you know, it takes a little getting used to because it's bright.
Did your kids on the basketball team, did they talk about? I'm taking a little while to get used.
Yeah,
to the
and I think at first when you first come to the gym, it's bright. You know, and it does take a little getting used to, but I think once you know, once you're in there for 10 or 15 minutes, your eyes adjust, and you know, it really shows off the building.
Northern Lehigh is another great place we go to. We've been coming there more often for football games during playoff times. You always host basketball games up there. I know there's some improvements going on there as well. So you're going to continue to host some district playoff games, I think, going forward.
Yeah, I tell you what, I have to commend our school district. They made a great decision back in 2012 when we put the turf in.
Yeah,
it's going nice. We have a gorgeous facility. I know ESPN, Lehigh Valley, gave us a recommendation as the top high school sports venue the 1 year, and the locker room location as well as our parking. We have play clocks, a beautiful $50,000 scoreboard, as well as a number of other things that we offer at our stadium. And beginning May 8th, we're actually going to renovate our track. And for those of you who don't know, we hosted the district track meet back from 1981 through 1995. So our track is well over 35 years old, and it's due for renovation, and our school district has paved the way for that. So we're going to make some improvements and continue to host some contests and hope to see everybody up there.
I've said this a million times over the last 35 years, but the AD is so important. It really sets the tone for the whole school, in my opinion, and certainly how the AD treats us really kind of shapes how the media views. I know that when I go to Northern Lehigh, that Brian Geist is going to go above and beyond to make sure that the media is accommodated and comfortable. And I've been covering some basketball in your building, but this is the first time in I got 10, 15 years that I covered football. I covered two.
Yes.
Almost within back-to-back weeks, or maybe 2 and 3 weeks. And I was like, I want to go back because Brian Geist I just want to emphasize Dennis too. I mean, you have a great assistant named Colleen Nosovich, and I always feel comfortable when I'm at Central Catholic. You guys are very important, and you two are two of the best in making sure everybody's treated well.
Thanks, Keith.
Yeah, and I appreciate the kind words. And I, you know, I have to say that I'm blessed with a number of awesome game help people that work for me. I ask them to do some things, and they come through. And our philosophy is that everybody has a job to do, and we try to allow everybody to get their job done, whether it's a coach, whether it's a player, whether it's the media, whether it's the bus driver, the band, whoever it happens to be, they have a job to do. So we're going to try to accommodate them and do the best we can and also promote our school district.
Well, Brian, I would echo what Keith says. I mean, we've been fortunate enough to play in the postseason at your place, both in fall sports and winter sports, and you know, we're always treated in a first class manner, and you know, hats off to your crew there, because they really do a great job.
Thank you, Dennis.
All right, our special guest, Dennis Sensus from Central Catholic, Brian Geist from Northern Lehigh. We'll continue the high school conversation, plus the roundtable coming up in just a few minutes. But right now, Keith's favorite part of the show, it's called Growler's Grumblings, where Keith sounds off and talks about anything and everything on his sports mind. Keith?
Well, again, we're going to be in more of an upbeat Growler's Grumblings. I'm going to keep it brief because I really want to hear more from Dennis and Brian here. But the All-State, people are asking me, the All-State basketball team, boys coming out tomorrow, Friday at noon. And I'm anticipating I'll be very disappointed if we don't have some guys getting some recognition. As you know, we had an unprecedented year in boys basketball. Morning Call went out on a limb. I went out on a limb and took three players of the year. I mean, we probably won't ever do it again, but we did it this year. We honored three guys, Tyrese Martin from Allen, Sam Iorio from Parkland, and David Kakaris from Emmaus. So I'm hoping those guys and maybe a few others will be recognized with All-State. The girls, by the way, coming out on Saturday at noon. Look for the coverage of that. Also wanted to salute Freedom High School. We had a guest on here a few weeks ago, Jen Wesco. She talked about Peter Pan. Well, I saw Peter Pan on Sunday. What a fantastic show. And I've heard great things about so many great plays in the Lehigh Valley, including Allen's Bonnie and Clyde. I have a few more tickets for a couple of shows. Can't wait. The kids in that arena, in that forum, doing a fantastic job. I cover the athletics. We praise them a lot. But go do yourself a favor. See a Freddie Award show at any school. There's a few left. Get out there. You won't be disappointed. And finally, while we're trying to get ready for the holiday weekend here, and there's a lot of good things happening, and it's a real positive holiday. Usually Easter is one of the best holidays we have. And while you're doing that, while you're painting those eggs, while you're going to church, while you're getting those flowers, think about people we've lost. Think about, for example, Kim Donatelli. Kim is the wife of Andy Donatelli, who is a phenomenal baseball player, a longtime area basketball official, class guy, one of the best people you'd ever want to meet. His wife, the same. Kim, unfortunately, passed away this past week at the age of 53. Our hearts, our prayers go out to that family. Good guy. It shouldn't happen to anybody to lose somebody that vibrant at age 53. It definitely shouldn't happen to the great Donatelli family and Andy. Our hearts go out to him and everybody associated with Kim and Andy Donatelli.
Absolutely. Very sad news ahead of the holidays. All right, for our second feature of the evening, in a battle of unbeatens, the Parkland baseball team defeated Northampton in a game played at Coca-Cola Park this week. Sports Talk videographer Alyssa Scheckler was on hand for highlights and post-game reactions.
I thought it was a great team win today. Defense was exceptional. They played great, and then the offense really came through again and continued to hit well.
It was just great, you know, see your offense click like that, driving balls in the outfield, finding grass, defensively stepping up, knocking balls down, making the outs. It's great confidence for us.
It was a key matchup for us here because Northampton's been playing really good baseball, so it was a good measuring stick for us, and we're real happy with the way we played.
Great program over there, well coached. They're a very good team. We have Liberty Thursday, again, another great program.
It's going to be our probably toughest matchup yet, and just to go out there and compete like we've been, it's going to be great.
We have a game, two makeups in the next 5 days or so, but we have the pitching depth that we can handle stretches like that. It's just a matter of playing good baseball. So we got to keep getting better and better and keep stacking on good practices and good games. We have the ability to be a tough baseball team come May and June.
Just want to take every game at a time and enjoy everyone.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Our special in-studio guest, Brian Geist, athletic director of Northern Lehigh and Colonial League president, Dennis Sensus, head basketball coach and athletic director at Central Catholic. Big thanks to Tom Moore from Carlkins Media for joining us earlier in the program. We'll be getting to the roundtable, mix of local and national topics coming up in just a moment. Still have that trivia question out there. 35 years ago, the Lakers defeated the 76ers in the 1982 NBA Finals. Who led L.A. in scoring during that year's playoff run? Keith, do you remember that without looking down?
I think I covered it. I was a young man, I might have gotten down. There was a second or third guy in on one or two of those games. Yeah. We can't give a hint, I guess, right?
If you want to.
Well, I mean, think presidents. Think presidents.
Oh, well, that's good because there's, yeah, okay, all right. Yeah. I see where you're going with that. wasn't too far ago, long ago. One quick question I want to ask about lacrosse. And I remember a few years ago when Central Catholic had some great football teams. I remember talking, and I couldn't remember which player it was, but I remember talking to a football player about during the playoff run, and it was in states. And I said, well, you know, this guy would be excited. He said, yeah, but I'm really looking forward to lacrosse season because we have a great team at Central Catholic in lacrosse. And they did, and they still do years later. So I know boys lacrosse has been very very solid again so far this year.
I'll tell you, over the last 5 to 10 years, our lacrosse program, both on the boys' side and girls' side, continue to grow, and we're very proud of them. Our boys' lacrosse coach, Dan Dolphin, has an excellent team this year. They're currently 7-0, you know, there's a lot of parity in EPC lacrosse. I mean, you've got some teams that are really solid. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to get out in front of ourselves because I do anticipate us having, some real challenges down the stretch here in lacrosse. But we're definitely excited. I mean, Joe Wolf is one of our leaders on that team, and he's going on to play lacrosse at Cornell next year. Mm-hmm. It's a team that's really established themselves with a strong tradition.
Yeah. And as you said, it's a good area for lacrosse, even though it hasn't been around as long as other sports. There's really some quality teams.
That's a really good sport. I think I was talking to you at Rockne about that, how a little bit of football, a little bit of basketball, all kind of different sports.
I'm still relatively new as an athletic director. Mm-hmm. I'm in my third year, and I'm learning a lot about it, a lot of different sports that I didn't know before. And like I was telling you the other day, Keith, I think lacrosse and the other one that jumps out at me is volleyball. They're great spectator sports, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of action and a lot of excitement. I encourage people, if you get a chance, go out and see a lacrosse game, either girls or boys, because they're a lot of fun.
I want to just ask one question, and it might take a while for you guys to answer. What did you generally think of the 6 classification setup in high school sports this year? Well, I know we're not through the spring here yet. Yeah. We got to get through the spring. And with 6 classifications, we're going to really need some good weather to get all the playoffs in a timely fashion. How do you think it all worked out? Good?
I think it was a positive change. I think there's some growing pains and some things to still figure out. People were complaining that it may be watered down. I don't think so. I think it's great that it gives more opportunities for kids to compete in the postseason. So I think it was a positive change, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the spring season, how it pans out.
Well, if you ask the Central Catholic volleyball team, the Bethlehem Catholic girls basketball team, the Nazareth Rett, those are our state champions. Mm-hmm. I think they'd say it's watered down. We're a state champion. It doesn't matter if this was in the 6 classification era or the 4 classification era.
Yeah, I agree with you, Keith. Like, absolutely. Like, and it's neat because you get to go back and you say, hey, we played in the district playoffs. We were in a state playoff run. And now you have more kids who have an opportunity to do that. So I think it was a very positive change. I commend the PIAA on that.
Yeah, I would agree with Brian. I think overall it's been really well received. The thing I've enjoyed about it is it gives you a chance to develop some new rivalries in the postseason. Seeing some opponents that you haven't seen in the past, and sometimes you get tired of playing the same team 3 and 4 times in the same season. And I think with the expanded classifications, we've taken some of that out of the mix, and like Brian said, developed a lot more opportunity for kids to possibly win a state championship.
That's the one bad thing of 6A in most sports. It's basically a repeat of the EPC, and you're going to see the same teams go head to head. Where you guys, the Colonial League is all over the place.
Yes,
you have teams from 5A, I think, down to
2A. I was going to mention that where we had teams like Southern Lehigh and Bangor who might have an outstanding year and can't get into playoffs. Mm-hmm. Now with the expanded playoffs, District 11, by the leadership of Bob Hartman, came up with a power formula, and that allowed teams to qualify, and you now have this ability for all these teams to make the playoffs, where if you go 8-2, you're definitely going to qualify for the playoffs. In years past, 8-2, Southern Lehigh, 8-2, Bangor, they might not make the playoffs, depending on what was coming out of the East Penn Conference. So that's definitely been a positive change.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. We have Jason from Snecksville. There's a very important person who lives in Snecksville named Jason. Let's see if it's, in fact, this person. Jason, welcome to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you? I think I recognize the voice, too.
That's a good-looking panel you got there.
Do you want to identify yourself for the public, or should we keep keep him anonymous.
You'll keep that. Well, Jason Zimmerman, athletic director, Northwestern.
By the way, Northwestern was great with Legally Blonde, and I thank you, sir.
You didn't give him free tickets, did you?
That's all between me and him. It's all between me and him.
He's got money.
Keith's always a VIP when he comes up to Nutripoli. Always.
As long as I can sneak in the back door, I'm good.
They get him parking, too, I bet.
No.
Nah, you're on your own. You're on your own with parking. Hey, you guys got a winner for the trivia yet?
No, fire away. We need
How about Stormin' Norm Nixon?
There you go. Did you hear Keith's hint? Did it give it away, or did you know it beforehand?
No, I was actually going Byron Scott. But then when Keith said about the presidents, then I figured out.
You're going to be in trouble with
payback. Payback for Legally Blonde, Zim. There you go.
You got it. Thanks, buddy. And I think Geiske had a pair of shorts like Nixon used to wear. He might still have them in his wardrobe. I'm not sure.
Yep, yeah, with the knee-high socks. And I was hoping.
You got it, buddy. Yeah. Strike knee-high.
And it's great that Jason's calling, because I imagine he's calling to talk about important track and field stuff, because Jason is second bar none knowledge in track and field, and he hosts some great meets up at Northwestern Lehigh.
Well, these guys, I think Chris will hook you up with a question later on in the show, I'm sure. I emailed him a question to ask you, so hopefully he gets that. He can ask you that later.
I got you.
Put you on the spot, Geisty.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason.
Wait, I need tickets to a show, though, before I can go through with this, though. I don't, Keith's getting all this.
Hey, you're always, well, I didn't know that. I knew Keith was interested.
As long as you don't seat me aside of him, I'll come, I'll bring him up, but I'm going to sit in another section, so.
You got it. We'll go opposite sides, opposite ends, Keith. You know?
Sounds good.
Real quick.
Dennis, how are you doing, bud?
Great, great. Did you get some games in today?
Oh, yeah, I love it. Yep. We had the Wilson Warriors today. Yep, all good.
You won that
Sunshine,
game, right?
Sunshine, ADs are happy.
You won the baseball game today, right? I think I saw.
Yeah, we won the baseball game, dropped the softball game. I Wilson stuff this year, that's for sure.
Well, I got a new coach there, Kristen Arnold. It's a former Southern Lehigh product, and she learned from Brian Neff. Yeah. Was it a one-run game, Zimmy? Because you're playing nothing but one-run games in softball.
That's true.
All right. Jason, thanks so much for joining us. You do a great job as well up at Northwestern. We appreciate you watching and chiming in here today.
Hey, thanks, guys. Happy Easter to you all.
Same to you.
You too. Happy Easter, Jason.
All right, our final segment with Brian and Dennis when we come back. But as we head to break, this week's Sports Talk Shop featured team is the Northampton softball team. Here's a clip with more sound bites available on the RCN TV website.
Individually, I'm just trying to, for myself, do everything I can to the best of my ability, go hard at every play, every at-bat. Even if I do make errors or I do get out, I'm still trying to stay up because we don't want to be down. Overall, as a team right now, we're just trying to stay strong.
We're not taking any team lightly. This whole division is very good. It's like one of the best divisions in the whole entire state. And I think we got some good teams, and I think we're one of them.
Final segment of RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. Our special in-studio guests, Brian Geist and Dennis Census. And we're going to finish up this edition of Sports Talk before the holidays with an edition of the Roundtable. The Roundtable is where we have a mix of local, regional, national sports topics that we put before our panelists, looking for an entertaining exchange of different thoughts and opinions. All right, topic number one, the NFL Draft. We have a big show coming up next week. We're going to be focusing on the Eagles and the Redskins and the NFL draft overall. But a precursor to that, Brian, we'll start with you. What is your hot take or a solid prediction for the NFL draft to be held in Philadelphia in a couple of weeks?
I think that's great for the city of Philadelphia. And you always hear about all these media guys, like, are you going to run up the steps and do the Rocky thing? And I think it's just a great thing for our area. I think, if I had the chance, I think I'd go down and watch a draft. I think it's just great that the NFL is willing to make these changes, make it public, and allow a lot of local people to attend an NFL event. It's such a great experience, such a great league. I know they have their issues, but I think it'd just be a fun event to be able to go to, and I think Philadelphia is a great spot to host.
Got any predictions? Want to share?
Oh, great.
Or a hot take.
I'll tell you what.
We won't hold you accountable.
Everybody that knows me, I'm a Seahawk fan. I've been a Seahawk fan forever. I grew up following Steve Largent, and I just love that. So my thing is the Seahawks, and I know Marshawn Lynch is currently working out. He's going to be a Raider. Yeah. And I tell you what, I think it's a good move for the Raiders. And I think Richard Sherman's going to follow him to L.A. or Las Vegas or whenever they decide to move. But that's probably the biggest storyline is that. And then there's a lot of great cornerbacks. So I think the Seahawks are going to look at getting a corner in that first round and let Richard go and pick up some good draft picks.
All right. Dennis, a hot take or a solid prediction you'd like to make?
You know, so many people in the Lehigh Valley love the Eagles, and you know, it would be great to see them turn it around. You know, it seems
they're
like...
not going to blow it this year?
You know, we've got a great piece in place with Carson Wentz, and if we can add a couple key pieces here, especially on the outside with some wide receivers, we've got a chance to make some noise. So... I'm excited. I think it could be a great, next couple years for the Eagles.
Yep. Keith?
Well, as you know, I have a lot of pet peeves, and one of them is all these mock drafts, because I guarantee you there's going to be one or two trades early that are going to make all the mock drafts worth this piece of paper. I'm telling you, it's an industry.
That's my scripture, Terry.
It's an industry that is overblown, this mock draft stuff. And all it's going to take is one or two trades, and everything's going to be jumbled. And that's what I predict for certainly the first round.
You'll pay for that, by the way. All right, we have less than a minute, but one thing I wanted to get to. One thing you'd like to see for the next school year. Dennis? Yeah.
As we've talked about spring, I think all of our spring sports coaches and athletic directors would like to see an early spring next year. But on a serious note, we talked a little bit in between segments here today is, you know, the night that we had District 11 wise at the PPL Center for District 11 basketball was a great event, not only for those teams involved, but for the community. And I really hope we can use that as a springboard into, you know, more events at the PPL Center and just a great environment for, you know, our local athletes. And, you know, a credit to the guys in District 11, Bob Hartman's leadership to
We got to get going. Yep. Brian, we'll have to have you on to give you another storyline for next year.
Sure.
Great Easter weekend. Thanks so much for your time.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Thank you. You too.
We'll see you next Thursday with another live edition of Sports Talk. Good night, everyone.